Chapter 4. Taking Time. Late at night in a hotel room, a young man stared at an empty piece of paper on the desk. Nervously, he called a friend in a room several floors down to talk through some ideas. The friend ran up the stairs to discuss a speech that would change history. At 3 a.m, the young man was still working. It was August 1963, and although he expected to speak to 100,000 people in Washington the next day, Martin Luther King Jr. still hadn't finished his speech. He worked on it all night, not sleeping, King's wife Coretta remembered. He was to be the final speaker, and his words would be carried on television and radio to millions of people in America and across the world. The speech had been announced 2 months earlier, and King knew how important it would be. It would only be 5 minutes long, so he had to be very careful in choosing his words. You might think he would begin writing the speech immediately, as soon as he knew about it, but he didn't begin writing until 10 p.m. the night before. Parents and teachers usually ask children to begin work on their homework early, instead of waiting until the last minute. But maybe it was because King procrastinated that he gave the best speech of his life. I've studied originals for a long time, and I've learned that arriving early is not always a good thing. It's sometimes better to arrive at the last minute. This chapter looks at the question of when to take original action. I'll discuss how delaying can be useful and why procrastinating can be a good thing. I'll look at how entrepreneurs who are first to market with a product can have difficulties, why older innovators are sometimes better than younger ones, and how leaders who want to change things wait patiently for the right time. You don't have to be first to be an original. You don't even have to arrive on time. Originals are often late to the party. Great procrastinators. Recently, a student of mine, Jihai Shin, came to me with an interesting idea. Procrastinating might be good for originality. When you procrastinate, you may be thinking about the thing you have to do, but you delay doing it. Shin wondered whether the delay meant that you had time to think about a number of different possibilities rather than just one idea. As a result, you may have more original ideas. I asked her to test her theory. There was an empty building at college where there had been a small food store. Shin asked students to write ideas for using the empty space. When the students started work immediately, most of their ideas weren't very original. They suggested things like another food store. But Shin asked some students to procrastinate by giving them computer games to play first. The business ideas these students produced were more original. The ideas from the procrastinators were 28% more original. We were excited by these results, but wondered whether playing the games had helped creativity. But when people played games before they were asked for ideas, it didn't help originality. It also didn't help to start work, then stop and take a break, and then return to work. Once the students had started work, they had made too much progress to stop and start again. They had to know what was wanted and to procrastinate in order to have the most creative ideas. Shin then did some more research, looking at a Korean furniture company. Managers thought employees who procrastinated a lot were more original than those who didn't. But procrastinating wasn't always a good thing. If the employees weren't really determined to solve a big problem, delaying just made things late. But when they were excited about looking for new ideas, procrastination helped a lot. Leonardo da Vinci was a famous procrastinator. Experts think he took 16 years to paint the Mona Lisa, stopping and starting many times. He also spent 15 years thinking about the Last Supper, working on many other things at the same time. In American history, there may be only one speech as famous as King's, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. In just 272 words, Lincoln made clear that the Civil War was about freedom and equality. Lincoln was invited to give the speech 2 weeks earlier. By the day before, he had only written about half of the speech. He didn't write the last paragraph until the night before, and he didn't finish it until the morning. He waited because he wanted to be sure the speech was right. In the summer before his I Have a Dream speech, King got advice from three people about what he should say and how. He also discussed the speech for a long time with Clarence Jones, who had written some of his other speeches. Jones and another man began to write some ideas for the speech. King waited until the last 4 days before he began to work on the speech. Then, the night before, he met with his advisers, and they started again. By delaying the work on the speech, King was giving an example of the Zygarnik effect. The Russian psychologist Blumer Zygarnik showed that people remember unfinished things better than finished things. Once something is finished, we stop thinking about it. But if it's not finished, it is still there in our minds. When King finally asked Jones to write the complete speech, he had a wide range of ideas. But that wasn't the only good thing about procrastinating. I Have a Dream. 50 years after King's famous speech, we can all remember four words. I have a dream. I was very surprised when I looked at the speech King had written and the words were not there. Jones didn't put them in and King did not add them. While he was speaking, the singer Mahalia Jackson was behind him. She shouted, "Tell them about the dream, Martin." He continued with his speech, but she shouted it again. In front of a crowd of 250,000, with millions more watching on television, King pushed his notes to one side and talked about his dream. According to Drew Hansen in his book, The Dream, King was still cutting out lines and writing new ones just before he started to speak. He was even making changes as he walked up to give the speech. And he didn't read the words exactly. He changed things slightly, like a jazz musician. It was 11 minutes into the speech that he started to talk about his dream. And he added so much to the speech that he spoke for much longer than expected. King had procrastinated, but he had given more than 350 speeches in the year before the I Have a Dream speech. He had material in his head that he could use when he needed it. He put his speeches together from pieces of all his other speeches. Pioneers and Settlers. After working on starting over 100 new companies, Bill Gross did some research to find out why some companies succeeded and others failed. The biggest reasons were not the quality of the ideas, the people in the team, or the amount of money invested. The number one thing was timing, Gross said. 42% of the difference between success and failure was timing. Most Americans believe it is better to be the first mover. We want to be leaders, not followers. If you are the first to market with a new product, you can learn about the market more quickly and get the most customers. By doing that, you stop the competition, because it will be hard to persuade those customers to change. In a famous study, researchers Peter Golder and Gerard Tellis compared the success of companies that were either pioneers or settlers. Pioneers were the first movers, the first company to make or sell a product. The settlers arrived later. They waited for the pioneers to create a market first. When Golder and Tellis looked at hundreds of products in more than 30 different areas of business, they found a huge difference in failures. 47% for pioneers and just 8% for settlers. And even when the pioneers did survive, they only got around 10% of the market, compared with 28% for settlers. Surprisingly, the problems for the first mover are often huge. Pioneers may sometimes get a big part of the market, but they usually have a big risk of not surviving, and they often don't make much money. If you're thinking of moving into a new area of business, you need to stop and think about timing. But researcher Lisa Bolton found something more frightening. Even when entrepreneurs know it is risky to be the first mover, they don't believe it. We can all think of pioneers who succeeded, and we've forgotten those who failed. So what are the reasons that settlers do better than pioneers? First, many people think that settlers are just copying the pioneers. But that isn't really true. They may be waiting before introducing something new. They may be working on something that is better than the products in the market now. In home video games, the pioneer was Magnavox Odyssey, which started with simple sports games in 1972. A settler, Nintendo, started to manage the distribution for Odyssey in Japan in 1975, and then, in the 1980s, started to sell the Nintendo Entertainment System, with games like Super Mario Bros. Nintendo's games improved on the older games. It was easier to play them, and the characters were interesting. You don't have to be first to be original. You have to be different and better. In the 1990s, a banker, Joseph Park, was at home in his apartment. He was annoyed because he wanted to stay home and watch a movie, but to do that, he had to go out to a store and rent one. Why couldn't he go to a website, choose a movie, and have it delivered to his door? As there didn't seem to be a company that provided this service, Park decided to create one. Although Park collected $250 million from investors, his company, Cosmo, only survived until 2001. The biggest mistake was that Cosmo promised to deliver movies in 1 hour and spent a lot of money on distribution to try and make that possible. If Park had moved more slowly, he might have realised that delivering movies in an hour wasn't going to work. A lot of people wanted online movies, and Netflix was just beginning. Maybe Cosmo could have competed with movies by mail, and then it might have been able to move to delivery online. Second, it seems that people who choose to move late may be better suited to succeed. Risk-takers like to move first, and they may make their decisions too quickly. Entrepreneurs who want to avoid risk watch the market and wait for the right time. In research into software companies, Elizabeth Pontiquez and William Barnett found that when entrepreneurs waited for the market to cool down, they were more likely to succeed. Third, as well as avoiding some risk, settlers can look at their competitors' products and make their own products better. When you are first, you have to make all the mistakes yourself. Settlers can watch you and learn from your mistakes. Fourth, pioneers often stay with the first products they sell. Settlers can watch how the market changes and change their products so they remain right for the changing market. Settlers can also wait for the market to be ready for them. When Warby Parker started, people had been selling products online for 10 years, even though the idea hadn't worked before for glasses. The theory of pioneers and settlers is true outside of the world of business as well. In the 1840s, the Hungarian doctor Ignaz Semmelweis discovered that if medical students washed their hands, the number of women patients who died giving birth was much lower. Other doctors laughed at him. He became sick and died a young man. 20 years later, the research of Louis Pasteur and Robert Koch showed Semmelweis to be right. I don't want to say that it is never good to be first. If we all wait for someone else to move first, nothing original will ever be created. Someone has to be the pioneer, and sometimes they are successful. This is often true when there is a patent behind the product, or when a product becomes more valuable as more people use it, such as social media. But in most cases, the chances of success are not higher if you move first. And when the market is not clear or unknown, then being a pioneer is a huge risk. The lesson here is that if you have an original idea, it's a mistake to think you must move first before your competitors. Procrastinating can make it easier to achieve something, and in the same way, delaying market entry can give us the chance to learn more and reduce risk. But what happens if we take a wider view than ideas and products? If we look at the whole life of a person, is there a risk in waiting too long? Conceptual and experimental. It is widely believed that originality is something we find in young people. Vinod Khosla said at the National Association of Software and Services Companies Product Conclave in 2011, "People under 35 are the people who make change happen. People over 45 die in terms of new ideas." Albert Einstein also said that a scientist had to make his discoveries before the age of 30. And it is true that people do often lose their originality over time. But this doesn't always happen. When companies have suggestion boxes, it seems that older employees have more and better ideas than younger employees, with the highest value ideas coming from employees over 55. And in new technology companies, the average age of entrepreneurs is 38. In art and science, David Gallanson shows that we're quick to remember the exciting young people, but there are a lot of older people who succeed much later. In film, for example, Orson Welles made Citizen Kane when he was 25. Alfred Hitchcock made his three greatest films when he was much older, at ages 59, Vertigo, 60, North by Northwest, and 61, Psycho. Why are some people creative early, while others start to be creative later? The creative age depends on the way we think. When Galanson studied creativity, he discovered two very different types of thinking, conceptual and experimental. Conceptual people think of a big idea and try to achieve it. Experimental people work by trying different things, some of which succeed, while some don't. They are thinking about a problem, but they don't think about the answer to the problem when they start work. They don't plan. They decide things as they work. Galanson believes conceptual thinkers move quickly, while experimental thinkers take longer. He studied economists who had won the Nobel Prize and discovered that, on average, the conceptual economists had done their best work at 43, while the experimental economists had done theirs at 61. A study of physicists who had won the Nobel Prize discovered that half of those under 30 were conceptual, while 92% of those over 45 did experimental work. Conceptual people can work quickly because they don't need to do years of careful research. They are also usually young because young people find it easier to approach a problem in a new way. But as they get older, they find it more difficult and they become less original. This was Einstein's problem. His most important discoveries were made in his head. They were ideas that explained things that had been discovered by experimental scientists. As he got older, he found it more difficult to work with some of the newer ideas in physics. Conceptual people have ideas earlier, but then they risk copying themselves and producing very similar ideas. Being experimental takes longer, but it means the scientist or artist is able to discover new ideas. Mark Twain published Adventures of Huckleberry Finn when he was 49, changing the story as he wrote it. When he started, he didn't know how it was going to end. As we get older, it helps to be more experimental. Leonardo da Vinci was experimental, taking years to finish his greatest paintings. Martin Luther King Jr. too was experimental, giving thousands of speeches and changing them as he did so. Moving quickly is fine for the young, and creativity can be both conceptual and experimental, but slow and thoughtful can often work better for the older person.